Mark Weber. You're a musician in San Antonio.
Right. Mark Weber y Los Cuernos, right. Hello, this is Mark.
Yeah. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how's it going, Alyssa?
Good. How are you?
I'm great today. Did a little recovery time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, had a nice little gig last night.
In Austin, Texas, right?
In Austin, right, yeah.
Wow. And then you went to church in the morning?
Right. I slept in a van in Austin overnight. And then I got up in the morning in my GMC hotel and then drove it down to San Antonio and went directly to the church parking lot, changed clothes, and went inside and played at 10 a.m. And then I went and had a little bit of breakfast and then came back and played at 1 p.m. today.
Wow.
So that's normal.
1 p.m. back at church?
Right. Yeah, we play at 10 a.m. and 1 p.m.
Wow. And so when I met you, you were wearing like a hat with overalls. What do you wear in church?
Well, I changed out of the overalls. I wear the hat, but I take it off inside the church, of course. And then I usually just wear jeans and a t-shirt.
Oh, nice. And yeah. What church is it?
It's San Martin de Porres, and it's on the west side of San Antonio.
That's so cool.
Thank you.
I remember going to a church in San Antonio, right, like downtown.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I forget the name though. It was really, yeah.
San Fernando Cathedral.
Yes, that one.
Uh-huh. The oldest cathedral in the United States, I believe. More than 300 really? Years old.
Uh-huh. It was beautiful. So I was listening to your music and there was like some really funny ones. Like the girl from Walgreens.
Okay, uh-huh.
We don't have Walgreens up in Canada.
Oh, okay.
But yes. I did go to one down in the States. And did you actually find someone in Walgreens?
What happened was I had a wife that was somewhat jealous. I went down to the Walgreens. I told her I was going down there to buy school supplies for my boys or her boys. And she said, "What's the matter? You are in love with the girl from Walgreens or what?" I'm like, "No, I'm just going down to get school supplies." We were driving by a Walgreens several months later, and I said, "I could put your name in a song." And her legal first name is Dora, and we were right there at the intersection of Culebra and Zarzamora. So I said, you know, she said her name is Dora. She works at Zarzamora. I'm falling in love every day. I simply do adore her. So. So little bits and pieces of that, and then I kept it in my mind and then composed the song.
That's so cool. When did you get into, actually this is a question from a listener from Chris Spring. He's a comedian in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And he wants to know, what is your favorite song to play on the accordion?
Probably the one that I wrote called Mexi Barbie. And I wrote it about 4 years ago. Kind of reminds me of my ex, a very pretty woman from Mexico. And they would always tell us when we went into the bars and I would play the gigs that she looked like a Mexican Barbie doll. So I wrote it kind of as a joke or somewhat of a semi-tribute to her, but also about a man that fictional that may just come upon some woman and in San Antonio, and he has a very brief moment in time to make a good impression upon her. So the words go, "Hola, muñequita, you sure are looking fine. You look just like a Barbie doll. I look like Frankenstein. But I have a proposition. I hope we both can win. If you be my Mexi Barbie, I'll be your Mexican."
That's great. So how long does it take for you to like create a song?
It depends, but most of my songs are written in well under an hour. If I have the idea, I may keep that idea in my mind for years, or I may write it out within a day or two. I got an idea last night for a song, and I'm going to write it. I already talked, and it has to have a female voice in it. So I contacted a young lady today who sings, and I said, I'm looking at writing a Christmas song, and it's got to have a woman's voice in it. Are you ready? And she said, yes. So I said, we may want to record this within 7 to 10 days and have it out so that we can play it 2 weeks before Christmas.
That is so cool.
So, yeah, it's an interesting thing. I just see things and I remember them and I get ideas. I saw a guy in a bowling alley wearing short pants and he's wearing an ankle monitor. And I guess he was pretty proud of that. So I'm going to be writing one about an ankle monitor. And I know that guy was bowling with that ankle monitor at least 2 to 3 years ago. It was well before COVID. So 3 years ago plus. It's still in my mind, and I'm going to write a song about it for my next CD.
That is so cool. I actually listened to the Mexi Barbie, and it was very catchy. Actually, all your songs are very catchy.
Well, that's very kind of you to say.
And he also asked, is there a song that you wanted to play, but the band would never allow to be played on stage?
We have been, pardon the pun, banned from playing a couple of songs in two venues here in San Antonio because it's more of a family environment. And one of the songs is called "Where's the Weed?" Talks about my son and I getting pulled over, and a cop was asking us where the weed was, and he said he smelled it on in our vehicle as we drove by him. Go figure, on an interstate. And so I wrote a song about where's the weed. He didn't find any weed. We didn't have any weed. So, but it's a very catchy tune. And the audience responds back when I sing and ask the question, where's the weed? Then they come back with where's the weed as part of the song. Mm-hmm. Kids remember that. And so they start going home and singing, where's the weed? Where's the weed? Where's the weed? So that song has been banned from two establishments in San Antonio. And another one, which is a parody of Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. And I wrote it out as Busted for Drugs in All the Wrong Places.
And I listened to both of those too. And they're actually they're so good. Yeah, very catchy. Where's the Weed? Yeah. And I think those are my top three ones. I also like the Free Tacos Mañana.
Free Tacos Mañana, okay.
Because I was really hungry at the time too.
Right.
And I think the best tacos I've ever had was in San Antonio.
Well, I would say that most people that live here certainly enjoy our tacos. We're consistently in the top 10 cities for overweight people. So we certainly enjoy our tacos down here and our Mexican food.
So Antonio Lopez, he's a listener, and he wants to know what got you into wanting to play the accordion.
I was stationed as a captain at Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, Texas, and I had taken Spanish for 3.5 years in high school. I wanted to start learning Spanish again, relearn and boost my level a little bit. I had tested with some minor proficiency in the military, but I wanted to go to another level. So I started listening to the radio while I was at work, and one particular station, KEDA, was the one that became my favorite. When I listened to their music, there was music that I'd never heard in my life. It's called conjunto music. And so it actually has historically a German base to it or a Czech base to it. I'm German. For some reason, it hit my heartstrings and I said, I want to learn to play that music. It's not enough for me to just listen to that. I want to make that music. And if I don't, I think my chest is going to blow up. So when I got out of the military 4 years later, I looked up Valerio Longoria, who who had been playing, started as a child, a 7-year-old child in 1931. And he taught me to play the first several polkas and several songs that I learned. So that's why I wanted to learn to play it, because it hit me so hard in my chest and in my mind that I was never going to ever be content unless I learned to play. So
that's the story. That is so cool. Like, it was like your calling to play.
Right. And when I first started, before I even took my first lesson, I had to debate with myself, because I was 37 years old and going to start lessons. And I was somewhat pouting, because I said, you know, you weren't born here in San Antonio. You're not Mexican American. You don't know the language. You don't know the culture very well. You don't know the songs. So, yes, you weren't born with it in your hands that, you know, and play it at 7 or 8 years old. You're 37. Here's your choice. You can either in 20 years have 20 years experience, or you can have 0 years experience. And I said, here's your choice, Betty. Let's take it. Let's go for 20 years and see what happens. Now it's been 26 years.
Wow. It's like, anytime you want to learn something, it's never too late, right?
It's never too late. You know, once we start, you know, and it, like they say, the time is now. Have faith in oneself. Having faith in oneself is supreme over anything. Use your talents. I am not a very learned musician at all. It's the first instrument that I ever took lessons on. And when I had my third lesson, I started, and Mr. Longoria said, play the polka I taught you 2 weeks ago. And I played it back for him. He said, play the polka I taught you last week. And I played it back. And he said, you have it. You have the knack. You got it. Don't ever stop. If you didn't have the knack, I would tell you to take it back and sell it. I wouldn't waste my time teaching you.
That is so, so cool.
Yeah. So that was 1996. And I'm sitting outside a bar right now where his son is playing inside. And his son is playing his dad's music. Mr. Longoria died in 2000, and it's been 22 years, and his music is still living on through his son and through many, many students that he trained here in San Antonio. You know, I am still learning myself. I have a lot to learn. There's a few goals that I haven't met yet in the music business that I want to achieve, such as singing in about at least 5 languages. So I have songs in 5 languages for people. So that when they hear me, if they want to hear Italian or French or a German, you know, song, then I would be able to sing at least one to them. And so we went back from 1996, fast forward to 2004, KEDA radio, the manager called me up and said, Mark, are you still interested in being a DJ? I had filled out an application in 2002 and heard nothing from them. All of a sudden, he calls me out of the blue and says, we have a position open. Are you interested? Come on down. Okay. I get down there. He says, the position is open from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. Monday through Fridays. Would you like the job? I was already working 9 to 5. And I immediately said, yes, I'll take it. So the first year I was on radio at KEDA, I was on from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. And they said, what is your nickname? And I said, it's El Tacuache, which means the possum. And they said, why do you want to call yourself the possum? I said, because I'm white and I come out at night. So that's the story of why I've been called El Tacuache for 18 years.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. And I've been on the radio now, and I'm still on the radio on Mondays and Wednesdays at night, 7 to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time on Radio Jalapeno, KDA.
Ooh. Yeah, I would tune in if I can. I don't know if I can get it up here.
You can get it through the app on KEDA. KEDA, and look up for Radio Jalapeno, and you'll find it. It'll come up.
I'll do that. So yeah. Mondays and Wednesdays?
Mondays and Wednesdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Central.
The first time I saw a possum was, it was stuffed, and it was in Fredericksburg, Texas. Because we don't have possums up here.
Probably not.
No. But I was so amazed by it because it was in a bar and it was a stuffed one.
Oh, really?
Or like, I think it was real. They said it was real, so
I'm
I
sure it
believe them.
was.
Yeah.
I'm actually known for catching them by hand.
Really? You like, are they
Yes.
dangerous or what? Like, I don't know
I
anything
have
about them.
never been bitten by one.
Do they bite though?
I have never seen him bite anybody. Of
What do
course,
they?
I've never seen anybody pick one up except for me. So, I can say that I would much rather pick up an opossum and take my chance than I would with a stray cat. So, I'll send you some pics, and there I am holding an opossum live, a bigger one and a smaller one and a baby one. So, grab him behind the head. I was in the Lowe's hardware store down here, and my coworker came up to me and says, "Mark, they've got one in the break room. There's a possum there, and they need to get it out. They don't know what to do." Okay, so I go into the mop closet, and it's behind the door. I said, "Just let me close the door here." And so, 10 seconds later, I walk out with a possum in my hands, and the gentleman, only one in the break room, was like, "I remember you. You're El Tacuache. You are the possum. You and I talked in front of the store about 4 months ago." I'm like, "Yes, that's right, we did." And I said, "So here's the proof." So
That's so funny.
I can't write anything like this. It's just amazing
Yeah.
what goes on. Lots of funny stories.
What do they feel like?
They're hairy, usually lean muscle, and somewhat cuddly, but they could probably use a bath, before you pick them up. But
And they roll in balls, right?
they kind of roll up, especially the smaller ones. They do, and within a few minutes, they once one has them in their hands, they seem to adapt, where they just kind of like really chill out and just kind of make do with what they have. But they do like to poop when you first pick them up, so you got to be careful of that.
So, okay. They're kind of like turtles.
Right. Yeah, they will poop on you, and so you got to watch
Yeah.
that. Versus a raccoon. What raccoons? I've picked up a few of them and don't want to do it too much. No,
Oh,
they're
you picked up a raccoon, like we have raccoons here.
a baby one. And all of
Oh,
a sudden it started getting a little bit too crazy for me, and I dropped
okay.
Yeah,
So,
so.
do you just like pick up animals when you're like walking along?
I do. I usually just pick them up and I take a picture with me and them, and then I post it on Facebook saying today's wildlife photo. And then I let them go.
That's
Whether it's a
funny.
spider or a toad or whatever, and I'll pick it up, and everybody's like, "Man, we don't know about this guy. Maybe he's got a few screws loose," but that's okay.
No.
And the only one I regret not picking up in my hands was a black widow spider this year. I did get several good shots of it. And I think that it would have crawled around me and not bit me. I don't think it would have been aggressive, but I didn't do it. So
So you just felt like it wasn't going to bite you?
I felt like it was not going to bite me. I think it would have crawled all over my hand, and had I not disturbed it much, I don't think it would have bitten me. So
Oh.
I kind of regretted not taking the chance. And yes, I might have been bitten or stung, but well, actually bitten. They don't have a stinger, so they don't sting. So I would have taken the chance, and I would have done it. Next time I'll do it, and I'll pick it up in my hand, and I'll let it crawl on me and take a photo, and then I'll, let it get off of me. So.
I remember petting a snake in I think it's right near San Antonio. It's outside of San Antonio. It's called like New
New
Brunswick.
Braunfels.
New Braunfels. I went to
Yes.
the snake farm there.
Ah, okay. My good friend used to own that in the early 90s when I went there. His name was Joe Teska, and his wife was named Betty. They sold it and moved to Louisiana around 1994 or something, but I would go up there all the time. And Joe actually gave me some baby rattlesnakes that I used to keep in my house.
What?
In a tank, of course.
Wow.
So, and used to feed them.
You never picked them up,
didn't
right?
Pick those up. I was tempted, and I said, Mark, don't be so tempted. Yeah. You know, let's not tempt fate too much. However, yeah. I do know a preacher in a congregation in West Virginia. I have been in their service, and they have actually picked up live rattlesnakes in the church service. So I may be tempted next time I go see them. You may read about that one too. I don't know.
Wow. So they just like preach and then they pick up a rattlesnake because they have faith?
They have faith. And yes, the pastor's name is Chris Wolford, Wolford.
Yeah.
And one can look him up on YouTube. He's actually been interviewed several times.
Wow. I'll look him up for sure.
Yes.
I just remember being there and it was really cool because I've never like been to a snake farm. I didn't even know what a snake farm is. Like right. In my head, I thought it was like a field with like a bunch of snakes.
Right.
But it's actually like a zoo, and there was like a petting zoo and a mini, like a calf. And right. It was like leaning up against me. It was so cute, but I ended up getting a snake farm shirt.
Uh-huh.
The kid's size, because I wanted a smaller shirt. And right. Yeah, there's like camels and everything there.
Right, yeah. Yeah, they have taken it to another level since Joe and Betty sold it. And so it's been a while since I've been there, but very fond memories of it. I drove by it this morning, of course, on the way back from Austin.
Yeah, because that's right, yeah.
Yeah, right, looking right at the sign going, wow, there it's still there.
Yeah, I'll show you a picture of me in front of it.
Beautiful, yeah.
Because I also went to Austin, Texas after, and I mentioned it to this lady on the street, and she started singing the Snake Farm song. Have you heard of it?
Yes, I have. Yes.
And you know what? At the time, I thought she made it up, and I was like, wow, she's like a genius.
Yeah, it's amazing that she knew the snake farm song and could sing it for you. So yeah,
she even danced for me too.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing.
But like, I was like, wow, she knows what I'm thinking right now. And no, I googled it and it is the actual song.
Right. So I'm assuming that you had fun when you had your visit down here in Texas.
Oh, it was so much fun. Yeah.
I wish you could have seen me perform last night. We had a blast in Austin. There's a group of folks that ride motorcycles up there, and they call themselves the Borrachos Locals, the crazy drunks. And they come up and they have a meeting there every last Saturday of the month that coincides with my gig is the last Saturday of every month. So we go up there and we have a great time, and it's entertaining. People are laughing and having a good time. They're dancing and drinking some alcohol, of course, with the Borrachos Locals. And we just have a wonderful time up there. It's rapidly becoming my most favorite place to gig. And I've gigged up there 14 months in a row right now.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Is it on the main street?
It's actually in South Austin. So we don't even have to cross the river to get into the main city of Austin. It's a little bit, probably about 3 to 4 miles south of Austin, per se, of the center of the city.
If I ever go back to Austin, I'll let you know.
Yeah, the place is called Giddy Ups.
Giddy Ups.
Uh-huh. We played there last October a year ago. We took our first break, and the gal that was running the sound system, I was going to ask her how we were doing, if she liked it. She says, don't ask anything. I already called the owner, and we want you back.
So, okay. Cool.
The next morning, they said, we have a gig for you in November and December. By Monday, they said, you're here every last Saturday of the month. And so we've been there 14 months in a row now.
Is it about a 2-hour drive from San Antonio?
Just 1 hour. Maybe an hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So not a very long drive at all.
I have another question.
Okay.
It's from Zach York Photography on Instagram. And he asked, he said, Tex-Mex versus Mexican food.
Uh-huh.
That's
I probably prefer anything that's on my plate. I'll tell you, if it's Tex-Mex or Mexican, both of them down here, they're similar. There are some differences, and we can tell the difference, but both of them are just outstanding for me. And I have, I'm just tempted all the time to eat way more than what I need. That's yeah. all I can tell you.
Yeah, I know, like I follow you on Facebook and I see all your posts with some really good looking food. So it makes me hungry all the time.
Yes, and I usually am in the mom and pop restaurants where they hand make everything, including the tortillas. And one can tell the care and the professionalism and the love they put into the food when it's served. And the plates look tremendous. And people are friendly here. And it's just amazing to go into places that aren't franchised and get tremendous service and very good scores on their food inspection grades. Wonderful. And I guess maybe that's why we have to work out quite a bit to maintain a slim figure here in San Antonio.
I remember the first night in San Antonio when I arrived. I first met you at the bar, and you were like, welcome to Texas. And
right.
That's when I felt like I actually felt welcomed.
And I remember you saying that, and you said, this is what I have imagined, you know, that I would be seen here in Texas more. And I said, well, I'm kind of maybe an iconoclast or something here in San Antonio, but you know, this is what I always imagined San Antonio to be, and this is the way I live. So friendly and accepting. At least that's the way I would imagine that Texas would be. So we'll leave it at that. It's probably not always that way. You know, and we certainly have room for improvement on the outside of that. You know, on an aside there, we have plenty of room for improvement still in different areas of the state. San Antonio is a pretty decent melting pot. I don't see a whole lot of problems with, you know, people being different here in the Alamo City.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I just fit in. I just never see it. So.
It was a lot of fun. That was like a really fun trip. And like you welcomed me right at the beginning. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome back anytime you want.
Thank you.
So they say my house is your house.
Yeah. So. Mi casa es su casa. Is that what it is? Yeah. And I remember the shots. I was just like, oh my God, these are the shots. And because everyone says like everything's bigger in Texas, and I'm like, yeah, the shots are bigger. It was like at that bar. I don't remember what bar it was, but it was like karaoke.
I think it was called Dad. It's called Dad's Karaoke.
Yeah, and I asked for a shot, and I think it was tequila, and it was like a whole glass.
And you did remark it was bigger than most shot glasses.
So. Yeah. It was a cup. But yeah, it was a fun night. What are the best and worst major cities?
Major cities. The biggest and most major cities to me are, of course, Houston and San Antonio, Dallas, El Paso, Austin. And the ones that I know, I don't know much about Lubbock or Amarillo, but I would say for me, my least favorite in which to live would be Houston, number one. Number two would probably be Dallas. And after that, I could be extremely content living in El Paso or Austin or San Antonio.
Okay. I've been to two out of three of those.
Ah, so El Paso's next, huh?
Yeah. Maybe next year.
Yes.
Okay. So. He also wants to know the best and worst neighboring state.
The best and worst neighboring state. Well, I'm going to have to put a tie between Louisiana and New Mexico because their foods are completely different, and they have some staple foods that are different from San Antonio, especially Louisiana. Arkansas, I would probably be somewhat indifferent. Don't know much. Oklahoma, by rights, we're just supposed to not like Oklahoma, and but I don't know about all that or as to why. And I think Colorado may touch Oklahoma, or Colorado may touch Texas. Kind of indifferent about that too, because it's cold up there and I don't really want to go up and experience it, especially at this point in time. It's already snowed down up there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we've got the great nation of Mexico. And so Mexico, they have a lot of food and what can I say? A lot of culture down in Mexico, you know, further south. So, I'm tempted to go down there and fly down and either get a hotel room for 3 or 4 days or just live on the street with my accordion and a backpack and see if I can do that and then fly back. So,
would you ever consider taking your accordion up to Canada?
Oh, absolutely.
It's cold right now, though.
That wouldn't bother me. I'm pretty sure they have heaters.
Yeah. I've been using my heater lately.
Well, yeah.
You can sleep on my couch.
Beautiful. Yeah. I could do that. We could bring an accordion up there and we'd hang out and have a great time.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Canada in probably close to 30 years, I think. The last time was probably when I was stationed at Fort Dix, New Jersey, and I drove up through upstate New York and crossed over into Niagara Falls area in an old 1973 LTD, and I slept in the back seat of it for one night, and then I got up and I drove home because I said I wanted to go to Canada for the weekend, and all I did was just drive.
Wow.
And everybody thought I was crazy. I'm like, well, of course I'm crazy. The LTD was painted hot pink and bright green. And so they had fun with me at the border patrol, you know.
So the checkpoint. Is the Canadian side of Niagara Falls better or the American side?
I don't really remember. I would probably bet on the Canadian side being better.
Yeah, I've been to Niagara Falls a few times. It was nice. But I'm in Vancouver. Have you been there?
I have not been to Vancouver, no. I can use an escape, and the good thing is I don't answer to anybody, so I can go whenever I please, and my passport is current.
Yeah. When I was in Vegas, I was like, oh, I'll just ask you just in case. You might be in Vegas in August.
Yeah, I missed that part. Year.
But I'll probably go again soon. So
let me know. Keep me advised so that, we can meet again. Would love to do it. Or when you come down here to Texas, I'll take you out. We'll go honky-tonking and go dancing or something and have a good time.
That'd be fun.
And then I'll break my alcohol starvation diet that I have, and I'll drink a couple with you. Not much.
You don't have to do that for me.
Okay, got it.
Johnny Castillo, he's also a comedian. He wants to know, could Jack have fit on the door with Rose?
If what?
If Jack could have fit on the door with Rose.
If Jack could have fit on the door with Rose?
From the Titanic.
Could he have fit through the door?
So, did you ever watch the Titanic?
I have only watched clips of it.
Okay, because Jack was like holding on to Rose, but he was in the water and Rose was on like a raft, like a door. And she let him go in the water and he died and froze. And he just wants to know it to fit on the door.
I have no clue, but the interesting thing that runs through my mind when I think about the Titanic is that they had a particular song that they were singing, I guess, as the four clergymen were drowning.
Yes.
The interesting thing was on the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic from 1912 to 2012, we played that song in our church.
Wow.
And it was the 100th anniversary to the date. And the song was da 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 da. Yo creo en ti, señor, yo creo en ti. We did it in Spanish. So I remember that, and I was, getting chills about, wondering how those folks were thinking as the ship was sinking, and that they were going to perish. And so I had them in mind so much while I was playing that song in the church, that it was a very interesting feeling as I was playing the accordion.
Because they, everyone was trying to get off the ship, and then they were just like, oh, we're just going to play until we sink.
Right.
Yeah, right. That's crazy.
So, yeah, there I was in a nice, warm, and comfortable church and playing that song on the 100th anniversary. I don't remember the exact date, but I know it was 1912, and we were there in 2012, and it was for me chilling.
Yeah, that's pretty, that would be. I went to a museum in BC, the BC Museum, and they had a Titanic exhibition.
Oh, and wow!
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. I love museums.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And just recently, past November 10, I believe, was, if I'm not mistaken, the anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which was the 50th, I believe.
Oh, wow.
And you probably don't know about that one. It was a cargo ship or a freight ship that sank in the Great Lakes. And there was a song written and composed and sung by Gordon Lightfoot called The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And so then I Googled The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald because I used to hear the song all the time, but I was so young when they were playing it, when it was written in 1972, I believe, and 73 when it was recorded, that I didn't understand and no one explained to me what the man was singing about. I knew it was a ship, but I didn't know the headlines and I didn't know the gist of the story. So now I researched it earlier this month and then posted about that on Facebook. So,
wow, yeah. That's cool.
29 men perished that day.
Wow.
Yeah. In November 10th, there was a storm that came through very early, and they said had the ship put 15 more miles behind her, she may have made it, but that was not the case. So an aside there on the Titanic versus the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Do you like being on the water?
The last time I was on the water, I went deep sea fishing for the first time, and I didn't take any seasick pills, and I got out there within a half an hour. And it was a 12-hour fishing cruise, and I was sick for the entire time for 12 hours. And I was the first one off the ship when it came back in. And once I hit land, I was completely fine. And 45 minutes later, joking and eating seafood and having a great time. But while I was out there, I didn't really have that. On the water for a lake, no problem. We were in the Gulf of Mexico. Didn't agree with me too well. So next time I go out, if I do, I will be taking a lot of seasick pills.
Yeah. So every time I fly, I take gravel. Do you have gravel there?
I don't know if we do or not.
So it's Gravol, and it works because I'd probably be the same. I get
motion sickness.
Huh? Motion sickness. Yeah. Oh man, that sounds awful. That's like the worst motion sickness.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I made 16 trips to the side of the boat in 12 hours.
Oh no.
I'm certain that's not a record, but for me it was. So.
Well, if you can't find the gravel, maybe I can send some and then try going on the boat again, okay?
Okay, yeah, I'll be up for it. I jump out of planes and I roller skate and I bowl. I play softball. I'll be playing 10 games of softball scheduled for this weekend. It'll be the last weekend of the year they were playing. And so I'll be playing 4 games in Corpus Christi, and then I'm coming back to San Antonio on Sunday and playing 6 games with 2 teams in the same tournament.
Wow.
So stay pretty active.
When did you start playing softball?
I started playing baseball at the age of 8. And like most activities that I enjoy in life, I try to be the best that I possibly can. Because I was known, my coach called me when I was 9 years old. I went home and asked my dad, "What's a perfectionist?" He says, "Where did you hear that word?" I said, "That's what my coach called me. I just wanted to know what it is."
So
I enjoy trying to be, very prolific at anything I attempt.
Well, listening to your music, it's amazing. Seriously.
Thank you. Very, very kind of you to say that. I'm probably just too close to it to understand, but I have received lots of compliments from people, and when they see me live in concert, they say, "Dude, you're over the top, man. Where do you get this from?" I was like, "I'm just going up there to sing, and I do my thing," and I am kind of always looking at other groups and taking notes from them and what works for them, what I think doesn't work for them, and I just do what works for me, and I do with what I feel is comfortable, and it seems to work.
Yeah, it does work. I think like one of the top ones is that I like is the Busted for Drugs. It like made me laugh.
and it's amazing that it has been banned in 2 different venues. So, yeah. But that's okay. We didn't sing it last night, by the way, but we had it just in case. So
if you sing in Vancouver, it won't be banned because wait, you're talking about weed, right? When you're singing?
Well, the Busted for Drugs, actually probably something a little bit more substantial than weed.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess where's the weed? You wouldn't be banned here, okay? So you're welcome to Canada anytime.
Oh, great. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. My passport's ready, so no worries.
Oh, good. Oh, one more thing is, I was like creeping your Facebook today.
Uh-huh.
And you sang a church. Are you sang at church today? I saw that video.
Yes.
And I actually really like the song that you sang, the song "I Saw the Light."
I Saw the Light. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it reminds me of my dad because he used to sing that. And
wow.
I really like that song. Anyways, what is your favorite gospel song?
Let's see. I know my dad's was "I'll Fly Away," so yeah. He was partial to that. I would have to go back into my mind and figure out which one, but the one I have listened to recently by a semi-bluegrass band is called Outshine the Sun by the Foghorn String Band.
Wow. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah. Yeah. Outshine the Sun. And that's just, it goes back to way back into my, one of my sides of the family where, you know, we were kind of hillbilly-ish. And so that's sung by a trio, and they captured it live on a radio broadcast. So that one was by the Foghorn String Band, I believe it's called. That one is an upbeat song and somewhat funny in a sense, because it says, you know, the last verse is, if we don't talk about our neighbors, we will outshine the sun. So they threw that in there. I don't know exactly who wrote the song. It was, they actually mentioned the gentleman. I think his name is Poole. His last name is Poole. And they mention him right before they start singing. So they do give the author credit.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to look that up. Because I actually have my dad's banjo. The only thing I wanted to take was the banjo.
Uh-huh.
And so maybe I'll start learning how to play banjo. It's never too late, right?
I have a 5-string banjo at home, and I haven't played it in a little while, but I was told I'm a natural born banjo player by my instructor. And I said, well, here in San Antonio, I'm more of an accordion player.
That's so cool.
I didn't really pursue it much, but I need to get back on it and actually add a few songs with the banjo on stage as well. I think it would complement what I do.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
If you ever need anyone, an extra person in your band, I know how to play the spoons.
Oh, you do? Okay. Are you a fan of Abby the Spoon Lady?
No, but I feel like I can practice enough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You look up Abby the Spoon Lady.
Okay, I'll write this down
on YouTube. She is wonderful, and I have a set of spoons in my van at all times. So that way, and I had a gig up in Bastrop, Texas, about an hour and a half away. One night, I pulled out in front of the venue after it was all over with my van and my trailer, and I had nothing to do, and I didn't want to drive at the time. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I got out my pair of spoons, and I sat on the curb and was playing the spoons. And the owner and the employees had already locked up the doors, and they're looking at me like I'm a madman, because there I am sitting there with my overalls and my cowboy hat and my boots, sitting on the curbs, done with my feet in the gutter, playing the spoons for like a half an hour.
That is so cool.
So, yes, I can use you as a spoon lady. Or a rub board, like they use. I have one of those for Cajun music, or maracas, tambourine, or a ouida. We have those available.
So I had, I know this, or I used to know this guy. He was like the leader of the Christian Crusaders motorcycle group in the States. And he would come up and play this instrument, and it was like a upside down bucket with a
right, the wash tub.
A wash, is that what it's called, with the right string and the
string and a stick and the tub upside down, right?
Yeah. And he used to play that, and it was so good. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's an actual instrument.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, so we have a lot in common. We have a lot of interests.
Yeah, me too.
Amazing. Yeah. I've got my spoons right here, and then I have some more at the house that I have and keep just in case, you know.
Yeah.
If I don't bring my accordion, I have a set of spoons with me. I have them in my Suburban, I have one in my van, and I think I have one in my truck too. So that way, in case I have nothing else to do, then I can always occupy my time playing a spoon. So yeah, you can do that for us.
Yeah, that's cool. Thank you so much. So for the listeners, where can they all find you?
They can find me on Mark Weber on Facebook, Weber, or Mark Weber y los Cuernos. That's Mark Weber with a space Y space LOS space CUERNOS on Facebook or YouTube.
And I found you on Spotify.
Oh, that's right. I'm on Spotify as well. I'm very low tech. I believe I have a website too that somebody has made for me. I believe it's Mark Weber, loscuernos.com. I don't update it hardly ever, but I need to, you know, maybe focus a little bit more on doing that in the future. As I continue to grow and my band gets a little bit more airplay in some of the local stations around Texas.
That's so cool. And everyone that's listening, go check out Busted for Drugs. and Fireball Medley.
Fireball Medley. Uh-huh.
The Girl from Walgreens.
Uh-huh.
Free Tacos Manana. Where's uh-huh. the Weed? Yeah, there's a whole bunch. And you have to go listen.
From which to choose, yes.
Yeah. Those are my favorites so far.
So, and they just keep coming. And I had a gentleman here that's a very accomplished writer in his own right. And he says, where do you come up with these songs? He says, you know, you came from way away from here. You came from Ohio to Texas. And I said, I see things that you all just take for granted. And they're new to me. And so I write them. I write about them. I write them down. And I put them into music. There's also one called La Paleta de un Icecreamero, which is about an ice cream man. It's in Spanish, an ice cream man that kept on going by my house at a place called Woodlawn Lake. And he kept on giving my fictional woman ice cream, free ice cream. And I came home one day and she had ran off with the ice cream man and left me a note on the counter. So.
That's funny. Oh, that's amazing. Well, I can't wait for like more to come from you.
Thank you so much, Alyssa. I appreciate that. And may your father rest in eternal peace.
Thank you.
Although I did not get to meet him, I hold him highly in my regard because I've seen your post about him. And I know he was a loving and a caring father toward you. And my sentiments went out to you upon his passing. And I pray that you and your family may be comforted, although it's been a while since his demise. You know, you still miss him, especially around the holidays, Thanksgiving mm-hmm. and Christmas, especially, or when you maybe think about him and when he went to church or when he rode the motorcycles. And I know that he loved you very much because I've seen the photos and yeah. I saw his face and the way he cared for you. So I just want you to know that I accompany you in your sentiments.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Well, I will talk to you soon. Thank you so much okay. for being on.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, Alyssa. God bless.
God bless you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.